Today on Real Life Radio.
You have an attitude in your heart any day now. That doesn't mean that you don't plan. You're supposed to occupy till the Lord comes. We don't know if he's going to come in the next 30 minutes or the next 30 hours or the next 30 years. God requires of all his kids in the family to be ready to meet him.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Any Day Now, Part 1, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's been decades since Peter walked the earth with Jesus, but his passion to impart vital yet practical wisdom to the church has never faltered. His hard-hitting final warning to all believers may be his last will and testament, but for us, it couldn't come at a better time. The great and awesome future events of the Bible are forming right before our eyes. We are the generation of believers that will not only recognize Scripture at work in the world, but will apply it to our lives. When we stop and look around, our faith tells us that the world isn't falling apart, rather everything is falling into place. So, on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Peter opened verse 3 calling us beloved. What Peter is telling us is that as Christ followers, we are the Lord's favored ones. We are singled out as having a powerful grace over us and a deeper understanding of our life's purpose. And now in his message called Any Day Now, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
In verse 1, Peter says, "Beloved, I now write to you." This is a tender statement. The Greek construction of the words, what he is saying and how he concludes, he is speaking to a group of people by virtue of the word he uses for beloved. It is a very amazing word, and we all need to hear it. He says this word to them. He says, worthy ones, my favored ones, ones who are of grace. The word means you who are defined by grace. The word means, beloved, that God has put his heart and eyes upon you. He has, can I put it this way, targeted you to be the recipient of his grace. And you say, Jack, what do you mean by grace? I'm talking about, in this day and age, a grace that is activated grace. It is, can I put it this way, a militant grace? We see, what do you mean by that? It's a grace that is powerful. We're living at the end of time, as church history goes, and the days are getting worse and they're increasing. And you know this. And listen, it's probably not going to go away. It's probably going to intensify. It's okay. God's grace will be upped. It will be turbocharged. It will be there. You don't need to fear. This is what's happening. So many people today, and I know that there's some Christians caught up in it, and then there are people who have always said that they're Christians. But this time of shaking and this time of people being overcome by fear, listen, the Christian is being convicted of that, and then they're rising above, knowing that the church and the Holy Spirit and God is eternal, and that the Bible warned us about these things. And then there are those who played Christian, they didn't know, but they were playing Christian. And then when these days hit them, they were like the flood, washed away. Fear got them. And this word, Peter is speaking to the true believer, and he's announcing, you have been favored by the grace of God. That's that word, beloved. We could spend the whole next of the month studying the word beloved. And you know what? It would be awesome. And it would be exhaustive. God looks upon you by the merits of Jesus Christ at the cross, and God looks at you, and he says, you're my beloved. Jesus went so far to say, you're my friend. That always freaks me out. I don't know what you think about friends. You don't need many friends if they're friends. Amen. I have 400,000 friends. They said they like me. It says right there, it likes. If they like, why do they write the things they write if they like? No, don't like. No, listen. According to the Bible, you and I really need one friend. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus says, I call you friend. In these last days, you want to be reminded of that, that he speaks to you and he says, I call you friend. This world is not our friend. We're in the family of God. Few things regarding the aspect of that. Beloved, listen, the beloved are the ones who have been singled out. I'm going to give you four things. The beloved are the ones who have an understanding about life. Say what you will. Listen, skeptic, atheist, agnostic, listen up. I want to say this boldly and clearly. Only the Bible-believing Christian knows about life. We have had our purpose fulfilled. We're not done living it. We're still following God, and he's still unraveling the course for our lives. But we have been persuaded by him that neither death nor life, nor principality or powers, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, says the Bible. Why? Because we have been called the beloved of God. It's absolutely awesome. And look, we don't know what's going to happen detailed upon us or to us, but we know this. God has given us purpose. We literally have a purpose. And look, as Americans, we're spoiled. If you think about it. Even before I was a Christian, I had a keen commitment. I grew up in a Marine Corps home. Maybe that's the reason. But I had an absolute, it was just given that you would die for your country. And I was told why you should die for your country. And I was brought up knowing the exceptionalism of the United States, that we're the nation that goes and helps the hurting. We're the nation that goes and liberates those that are in bondage. We're the nation that gives. We're the nation that liberates. We don't occupy. I was raised like that. And then when the Bible came into my life, it made sense to me. On a very small scale, regarding as nations go, I was proud to be an American. I still am. I'm not proud of what I'm seeing in America, but you know what trumps that overall? My citizenship's in heaven, and I hope yours is too. That Jesus Christ is my politics. Jesus Christ is my king. People always want to put people in a pigeonhole to understand them better. We've been given a purpose of life. One of the greatest purposes you can have is to discover that you're not so much an independent Republican or Democrat. You find out that you're a monarchist. Yeah, that's right. Jesus is the king. Is Jesus your king? Are you in the family? He has kids. He has kids. And oh, by the way, listen, he has no grandkids. God has no grandchildren, only kids. Only kids. Don't think you're going to go to heaven because your mom's going. Don't think you're going to go to heaven because your kids are going. God has no grandchildren. But are you in the family? That's the important thing. He singled us out. We have an understanding. The beloved of God enjoys a deeper reality. We really do. We all have family, right? All of us have family. DNA anyway, right? Unless that family member that you know is a born-again believer, have you noticed how born-again believers that you know in the spirit realm are closer to you than those of your DNA, flesh, family? Unless, of course, they're saved, unless they're born again. My brother loves the Lord, lives in Utah. It's not that we're DNA connected. But listen, it's spiritual DNA. Do you have that? Do you know that? We've been brought together. 1 John 3, verse 1. 1 John 3, 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Oh, my goodness. If you haven't gotten it yet, can I say it here? God loves you. You know, those are simple words that some of us have been at the table for a long time with the Father. We kind of get used to those words. Well, when people have never heard those words, they freak out. They go to a church and they hear that God loves them. Oh, yeah. In fact, this whole book is about his love for you. So, you know, some of you already know what I'm going to do. You already know it. See this? This is the entire creation of all the universe and in the Garden of Eden and all the systems that are out there in space. This is everything right here in these chapters. And this is Adam and Eve's. I'm at the page. Adam and Eve sinned right here in this, where my book's open. right here where the Bible's open. See this part? This is the part that he says, I love you. Please come back to me. This is what I'm going to do to save you. This is what I'm going to do to rescue you. This is what I'm going to do to make you my child. This is what I'm going to do to give your life purpose. This is what I'm going to do to show you that I have graced you by my son's merits. The entire Bible. That's how much he loves us. That verse goes on to say in 1 John 3:1 that we should be called children of God. The Bible said this, not some Tony Robbins gathering. God says this. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him, Jesus. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, when he comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's the hope of the believer. Is this true in your life? Are you in the family? If you're in the family, listen. You have an attitude in your heart any day now. That doesn't mean you don't go to work and work hard. It doesn't mean that you don't plan. You're supposed to occupy till the Lord comes. We don't know if he's going to come in the next 30 minutes or the next 30 hours or the next 30 years. God requires of all his kids in the family to be ready to meet him. You're in the family. Can I say this? It comes naturally to you, supernaturally, to be in his family and to revel in that. Before we press on to the second consideration, I'd like to put it this way. God doesn't believe in abortion. See, what does that do with anything? I'm talking about spiritual abortion. He doesn't believe in the other one either. You're not going to be ejected from the family of God if you mess up. And I'm not endorsing you to go or encouraging you to mess up. But if you do, and maybe you're watching right now and you've messed up. Maybe you're here right now and that is heavy upon you. God does not perform abortions in his family. None of God's kids are shown the door. You know, churches can excommunicate people. They made that up. God will never do that to his kids. Look, if you're a false prophet here, if you're a false teacher, we're going to run you out of town. Why? Because you damage people's souls. But if you're a child of God and you have fallen along the wayside, when God judges this church, may he find us being the ones lovingly reaching out on that roadside and picking up that brother, that sister who has fallen along the road, fallen along the side. Why? Because God does not cut his kids off. Just make sure you're in the family. The second thing in verses 1 and 2 is that any day now is a good day to be sure that you have the mind of God. The Bible tells us about us having the mind of God. It doesn't mean that you're as smart as God. It doesn't mean that you know what God knows. To have the mind of God, the Bible encourages us to have the mind of God. It means to have your mind renewed in the scriptures. And so Peter goes on to say this second epistle. Look at it there. This second epistle, 2 Peter, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. Verse 2, that you may be mindful. This is important. The word epistle here means communique. The communique or the transference of the information. I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna give you something. Peter is saying. This is very fatherly of him. It's very precious. Watch how this comes about. You see the words there, stir up. It's one word in the Greek language. And it means, listen, I'm not kidding. I'm gonna give you a word that you think is new by virtue of the media that's out there today. It's not a new word. This is the old definition of an ancient Greek word. It means to stir up. So he says, I've written this epistle to you. I want to stir you up with it. I want to arouse you completely in spiritual things. I want you to be, listen, fully awake, to be stimulated, or in our mind, we would see someone maybe being shaken, right? Listen to me. Are you listening to me? What are you doing? When you grab someone by the shoulders, you're saying, did you realize that? This is what Peter is doing. with the words that he's using. Are you listening to me? It's to stimulate, to arouse them to a complete hearing of what's being said, to be fully awake, to stir up. Listen, it means to bring what's at the bottom up to the top. It's the word that we would think of recall or recollection. What does it mean? It means I have memory of that. And I'm either A, I'm going to recall that up so we can discuss it from my memory. Or, you know what? Keep telling me. Can you give me some? What about it? Where were we? Why does somebody do that? Because I'm trying to recall. I'm trying to recollect that which is in there. Peter is saying, I'm writing to you, my beloved favored ones, and you're going to need to go down. This is my intent. I'm going to stir it up and I'm going to bring it to the surface so that you can recollect God's plan for your life, for all of you who are in the family, that you are to be thinking about the things that God wants you to think about and experience. And here's that word. I am not kidding. It means to stir up, arouse, bring to complete, fully awake. It means to be woke. Did you think some knucklehead made that up? That's not a new word. It's right here in the old Greek language, woke. It means that you are fully alert and fully aware of what's going on. By way of reminder. That statement means to rub it in. I'm not kidding. It means to rub it in. To rub. It means to score, like etch. Score. Like, remember when you were 13, you carved the initials of you and your girlfriend in the tree? The Bible says you need to do that in your heart and in your mind. Carve in the word of God. Etch it into you. That word means to draw the line or to write it down. Brilliant. Repetition is one of the strongest teachers. Repetition. We don't like it because we get bored. Listen, boredom is a terrifying block to learning. Because here's what happens. If you're a sloppy student, a lazy student, you'll hear somebody say something and you heard it. Listen, you heard it and you think you know it. Oh, I heard him say that. I've heard that before. But do you know it? Peter is saying, I'm going to remind you of all this stuff because it's not that you can repeat it. It's do you know it? Repetition. I have to tell you, I am a byproduct of a man who, and I have to confess, my wife, Lisa, used to be Pastor Chuck Smith's secretary in the very early 80s. And Pastor Chuck would deliver his message. He'd walk into his office and he would throw his notes in the trash can. And by the way, he threw his teaching notes in the trash can because he never wanted to use them again. He wanted fresh material if he ever taught in that text again. Well, she would grab them and give them to me. And I have a stack of those things. And you'd be shocked how simple. How simple. In fact, my notes are fashioned after his notes. But he would just simply write down a point, ABC, maybe a verse or two. And yet, what did he do? He expounded for an hour so deep upon something that was so in him. He was saturated in it. It wasn't on the notes. It came out of the well of recollection. That's the goal for every believer. And when you listen to Chuck Smith's teachings, the most remarkable thing is he says what he says. He'll read a chapter or he'll read a verse or a passage. He'll set down his Bible and he'll quote it verbatim and he'll do it about three more times in his teaching and he's repeating. And if you are a lazy learner, you'll go, I don't get this. This is boring. But if you're eager to learn, it's repetition that puts the groove in your heart and mind. You get it. Are we going to hear this again? By the way, you know who mastered this? Politicians master this. Have you noticed that if you've watched a rally of any politician, anybody who wants to communicate, frankly, where they're at on Monday, they say this, and then they fly in an airplane and they speak over there on Tuesday and they say the same thing. Yep. You want to know why? They know exactly what they're doing. They're etching policy or promise into your heart. Think about God. Why do you think there's four gospels? To etch it into you from four different angles, 360 degrees. If it would, so you and I have it. in the mind, always in the mind. Remarkable. Philippians 3, verse 1. Philippians 3, 1 says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Boy, we need that today, right? You see the face of the governor on the TV, and you just, don't you just get depressed? It's just, turn it. Right? What happens? I'd like to get a little analyzer on you. Why are you up? Why are you up? And have a little computer monitoring your emotional reaction, your heart rate. Every time, and I know this is true because I've watched the stock market. Every time Fauci comes on the screen, people go, oh no, what's he going to say now? And the stock market... Why? Because there is a connection. Why? I'm not trying to be funny right now. I'm actually telling you something that's very important. Bad news. We're all going to die. It's all over. There's no hope. Sets a groove in you. It etches. And when you call up from your memory, be careful what you're viewing and listening to. It's going to go in the well. It's going to come up.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Any Day Now, Part 1. So glad you joined us today. Any Day Now, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, if anyone is aware of the day and hour in which we live, it's Pastor Jack. From hours spent on his weekly sermons to Bible studies, devotions, radio, TV, social media, that's just to name a few of the ministries he's involved in. One listener writes, I've been listening to your programs and sermons now for a year. I have loved sharing your sermons and your podcast with others. As a Christian, I wanted to learn more and start studying the Bible again. My sister is now back with studying and listening to God's Word. And that comes from Darla. Thank you, Darla. So if you'd like to send in a word of encouragement to Pastor Jack, he always appreciates hearing from his supporters. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that Connect tab, and while you're there, be sure to check out all the ways to be further blessed by Pastor Jack at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. You know, we could all use a little encouragement now and again. These days, life can come at us from all different directions, but like Peter, no matter what we face, no matter what mistakes we've made, we can still be that kind of person whose only pursuit is the heart of God. There is no true salvation outside of Jesus Christ, but if you're not sure what that really means, well, we're here to help. On our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God, spelled out, that's K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, you'll find the good news of the gospel laid out for you step by step. You'll also find an easy link to let us know if you prayed to receive Christ, or if you've got any further questions, we'd like to know. And if you already know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the information on the Know God tab makes a great witnessing resource to share the love of Christ with others. So head on over to that website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab labeled Know God. That's at jackhibbs.com. Have you ever been passionate about pursuing a dream? And what if you were surrounded by people who feel equally as passionate about that same dream as you do? How far would you go with it, and to what end? Our founding fathers had a vision to make America a city on a hill, a beacon of faith shining for all the world to see. And their mission? To exalt the gospel of Jesus Christ and the God who gave it. July's book of the month is called Forged in Faith by Rod Gregg. A fascinating history of the New World, taking you from 1607 to 1776 and the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Forged in Faith. Pastor Jack is sure you'll be blessed when you order your own copy of Forged in Faith by Rod Gregg. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.